Oh, that's something else.
The former
civil attorney for Naples City and Vernal City got caught recording women's restroom activities.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
It interested me. Bail jumping is an offense in Tennessee's in Chapter 8.
Yeah.
And last week, Criminal Code Evaluation Task Force asked us to pull statewide data on how often that's being filed in there. It is being filed 70 times a year statewide, 60 of which are in Naples.
Serious?
Wow.
So Naples filing almost all the bail jumping for the city.
Wasn't that apparent? They had a separate prosecutor.
Interesting. You guys can start filing that, Ryan? You can start filing that now?
Well, I was just saying that. I forgot that was a thing.
I know. it was way back when.
We're going to have a NEPI. Just watch this. I'm coming from NEPI now.
Okay. Anything else, Ron, that we're forgetting?
It sounds like we're going to have more money available for grants. And I think it'll be awarded. If you feel like you're short, I know when we first started, there are a few agencies that started a little short of what they wanted. They didn't include their advocate. But just let me know if you need more units. I'll be getting the grant.
Or if we could ever get the attorney hired, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're still looking.
And I just got notice from one who just gave me his 2 weeks notice.
Oh dear.
So yeah, we're hurting.
Anybody know somebody want to do the job?
Everybody's hired. Huh? Lord Anderson.
Yeah, my buddy at Orange City, they got an application. The guy didn't even bother to submit a resume. He just filled out an online application and no resume.
So. I had a lady from the Gateway gas station apply for mine.
But is she nice?
Nice, yeah.
No, I've never been to college.
Oh, I can do that job.
Did you hire her?
Yeah. No. We may have to at some point.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Well, I would say kudos to DAG, though, because their salary increases are starting to help everybody else in the state.
Except when they leave you.
Well, it's going to force the commissions and councils to pay a better wage to attorney the staff.
I know. I reached out to a couple of you, and you guys are both looking. Any success?
Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
But they both up their wages.
Well, that's what I mean. Is a result of that. Yeah.
Yeah, as a result of the AG, then Salt Lake, then Utah. I've been able to have success now too, just last week. So thank you all.
All I can say, it was long overdue. Mm-hmm.
Not hired that, Jeff. Sorry.
He burned too many bridges.
And he opens it to Shane County?
He's given us 3.5 year notice.
Okay. We did UPA.
Yeah, resource prosecutor report.
Our reports are in your handout. I wanted to highlight a few things. It's, as you know, a couple years ago where we modified our mission to include law enforcement because of the training for law enforcement that we do. And so we also, I think under tab G, there's a training schedule. And I wanted to point out, just make you aware that we do 4 law enforcement specific trainings. These are 3 intensive 24-hour course, not in each day, but over 3 days. 24-hour course for all our sex crime investigators. Or any agency that has officers that may take a disclosure and then, you know, it's now their baby to investigate it as a sex crime. So we do these 3, and we do them 4 times a year. We We've got a two-year rotation where we'll take it to some rural areas of the state this year. Vernal didn't have a lot of movement in their law enforcement officers who do the investigations, so we opted to not go to Vernal and just have it at post. The instructors for this course are drawn from agencies throughout, mostly the Wasatch Front, but as we have officers from rural areas that take the course and that really seem to shine and understand victim issues, we'll invite them to participate when we go to their corner. We're trying to develop a network of good examples and good law enforcement leaders in the rural areas as well. And so this, the reason we have it on their course is, it's something that UPC, I'm the lead facilitator for it. So HB 200 in 2017 mandated that we, in partnership with POST, were to offer this training. Initially, POST created a curriculum, and then since that time, once we got that curriculum, it's been UPC that has facilitated the training of it ever since and developed it. And I do all the research behind it. We've developed a great professional relationship with Dr. Jeff Hopper, who's at Harvard School of Medicine. He's a psychologist and a national, internationally renowned trauma expert to make sure that our curriculum scientifically is in line with it. We have the crime lab there every time. We have Bryce Weir with digital evidence, who, he and Derek Coates are amazing. They come every time. We have SIAC attend every time. We have the same nurses also attend. And so I should include, and I will for the next report, just to sort of build on this. It's probably there sort of in the corners of what we do, but it takes a lot of time. I'm there full 3 days. Bob is there as much as he can. He co-trains on the trauma section with us. But it's a great course. We have to cap it at 30 because we have an interactive interview exercise where they go into small groups and they're actually interviewing our faculty members as victims. And this is an adult victim. This is not children victims. This course is geared towards adult victims. I think we can make that clear. So they'll interview the instructors. So we have to cap it, and we are full every time, and we have a wait list of usually 15 to 20 every time that we just roll over and try and get into the next group and into the next group. POST does, they were given a one-time allocation. They will help pay for our instructors when we go off-site. However, it's somewhat limited, and so that's one reason why we're trying to develop instructors and those that see the shine of the course in the outer areas, trying to keep those costs down. Well, we have it at POST, of course, we don't have to pay for it. So when we are off-site, we've been able to partner with the college agencies. So we're going to St. George in August, and Utah Tech University is hosting us for the second time. And we're going, when we're up in Richfield, we were at Snow College campus. And when we go to Moab, the community there actually contributed a location. And so we've not incurred any additional expenses. UPC does informally absorb our snacks and treats. We feel like, we should do something for our law enforcement folks. And so there'll be a morning snack and an afternoon snack. It's prepackaged, Costco snacks, but whatever, it's not fancy. But just gives them a munching option depending on where we are.
And we don't tell them how old those snacks are, do we?
We don't. Although we do serve them within the Best Buy date time period. But we had phenomenal feedback on it. Like, we're rated, we do a full evaluation, and it's between 4 and 5, and we're on average between 4.5 and 4.7. There's always one person that feels like this is like basic 101, and that's the person that probably needs to learn more, but is too close-minded to be open to the concept that they don't know everything. But we've had phenomenal feedback, and really, kudos go to our instructors. We have amazing law enforcement instructors. We have a small handful of prosecutors that help in one area, but it is predominantly our experienced law enforcement. And our biggest challenge with this course is they keep getting promoted. Like, a number of them are now assistant chiefs, and they keep getting promoted because of such great law enforcement examples. But I just kind of wanted to highlight that a little bit more, that is, 4 times a year, really a comprehensive extensive conference that we do just for law enforcement. So we're reflecting that on our training calendar.
Let me interrupt, Marlise. I know some of you are aware of this, but when she said the post created a curriculum, what they spent a ton of money on was terrible, and really Marlies rewrote the entire curriculum. I mean, and so the success for this conference really goes to her.
Well, thank you. And it was we had a law enforcement person create it, but they had never prosecuted or had any interaction with any sex crime victim. They asked what digital penetration was. I mean, they were completely oblivious of any statutory, they didn't know we had victim rights here. They weren't from Utah, even though they now reside in Utah. So, I mean, they really gave us a good framework, but the content was extremely lacking.
Is this the one that you and I tried to get put in on the front end and they would not let us in? Back in the back end?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we literally, once we got our instructors, very politically and kindly and compassionately, I mean, you know, post, they didn't have a training curriculum division, right? So they were doing the best that they could with what they had. But I just told the instructors, you're here because you're the, you know, the top cream of law enforcement. We need you to take this as a starting point and do your magic. And they really did. It was phenomenal what they did. And then it's just evolved over time, and we've added more and more. And only in the last year and a half did we add a non-consent section. So sexual investigations, when we have a full session on talking about how to investigate it when consent is the issue, which of course is the vast majority of our cases. And so we have Sandy Johnson who teaches that. We have Chair Aguayo teaches that. There's another one. Oh, Matt Jansen will teach that. We'll rotate them through to teach it. So it's a great course that continues to get better because we're a law enforcement. So keep that in mind as you're, you know, with your investigators in your areas, you know, spreading the word and encouraging them. Right now, registration is open for the August in St. George. If you go off-site, if you attend off-site, you're responsible for your own lodging. If they come to Post will provide lodging in the dorms, or they probably have PTSD from Bungie Academy, but, you know, they'll give them, a room. But if it's off-site, they're responsible for their own. And then we have another course at Post in September. The only other thing I wanted to say was thanks to KSL, although it's not like I have been sitting at my desk twiddling my thumbs the last 5 years by any means, but KSL sent out a grammar request to every single police department in the state about whether or not they've had any trauma-informed training. And 80% of them I would say have, because I've been going around. But all of a sudden there was quite a kerfuffle and a flurry of, can you come? So my statistics to date in May is at and actually a little bit beyond what my statistics for the entire year of 2022 was, going January to December. So I've already trained that many so far this year. So I'm going to take the rest of the year off. but it's been really, really a crazy spring. But I think it's been good. And now with House Bill 297 that just passed, it requires additional minimum of 1 hour of training for every officer, so not just our patrol, but every officer, even corrections. And that is in accordance with the statute that funds my position and mandates that Post and UGC offer that training. So I'm working on how we're going to best do that. It'll be a combination of live on a set schedule through the different quarters, and then alternating with Zoom in the other months so that everyone can access it. Because I just can't turn around, obviously, to every agency, and so we want to make sure everyone has a chance to get it. And so we'll coordinate that with folks as well. I think they'll probably work on doing an online one, which is always my least favorite. You know, at least Zoom, there's some ability to interact, but online is less so. So there's a lot happening when it comes to training our law enforcement, but we all know that that is a huge piece to having successful cases for us as prosecutors. And they're very receptive. I have not had opposition even at the beginning. I always throw out that, you know, I started out 30 years ago as a dispatcher, and that seems to be very effective where they realize that I'm not just some attorney from Salt Lake that's coming in to tell them what to do. I think, you know, because of the relationship they have with their dispatch, they realize, oh, you know, she gets it. And I've had great training. And there's been a few head-banging moments. You know, you'll get up an officer that will say something and you just drop jaw. You just don't even know where to start with that. But But I love being out there. We're great law enforcement in our state. So that's an expansion of, you've got statistics in my report, but I just kind of wanted to highlight some of the in the trenches work that's happening with our officers. We really get great officers doing that state.
Tyson?
Forgive me maybe for a lack of humility and all of myself, but I'm EDC. At least just illustrate with you all one of many things that we're doing at EDC and of the courses that are done. And the reality is, and again, I can't say this, speaking of that, I don't know.
It is. Thank you, Ocious.
But we are becoming and have developed and are further developing a reputation around the country of being a premium drop in the training industry. And I was just approached in April at a national conference by the Texas contingent saying, I need to talk to your boss because we need to start doing things that we're doing. Texas has exponential billions more at their disposal than we do, and they feel like we're doing a better job. And so, quite frankly, you're all lucky to have EDC. And I'm just going to put that out there. And that's the reality. And I know that that's not always recognized, but I'm going to put it out there because I recognize it. And I realize I'm speaking about our group, but we deserve that recognition. So good work to everybody. My report's in there. You can read what's in there, all that I'm doing, what I have been doing. But I want to give UPC a shout because I think this group of five people do an absolutely incredible job and continue doing an incredible job. And sometimes it's we clench teeth that we do an incredible job, but we're still doing it and we continue to do it. So that's all I have to say.
Do you guys want to talk about legislative update, how that went, how many we trained?
640 officers, what was it, 3,000 miles on our rental cars?
370 miles.
In a three-week period. I did 14 nights in a hotel in the month of May, I think. 14 or 15 nights in a hotel. So, yeah, it was good.
We still have some jurisdictions, and we've got to figure out how to get the word out. And I don't mean to.
It's the Wasatch Front.
It is.
We'll be on the Wasatch Front on Thursday. Everybody else gets it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that your arm is in my county, but you know, I have connections to meet one. I can't get one officer to come down. And so it's just there's some jurisdictions that just
you
do not.
You can put 50 in a room in Yuma County, and in Salt Lake County, you can put 50.
And in Davis County, we had three.
Oh, I didn't know about. Oh, that's right. I forgot. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're just not reaching the right training officers, but that's just kind of the irony that they've been experiencing.
One thought that I had is, and I was going to put this out on the forum, is how many, particularly along the Wasatch Front, do the legislative update for their own departments, right? Because that's where typically we have bigger departments. And I know Layton, just, you know, 2 days before we came, which I chewed him out for because I'm from Layton and I know them and I can do that and they forgive me and still love me, but the reality is they did theirs 2 days before for their whole police department. And we were at Layton doing it 2 days later. And so, you know, I think, so again, it's a large department. They've got close to 100 officers and we certainly have bigger departments, so maybe they're doing it all in house. But we want to put our time and our efforts where it's most needed, and you know, going and doing a legislative update for 2 hours in front of three officers, we'll do it for one if they need it. But the reality is that the best use of that time? You know,
that's probably not. And maybe, Marilyn, we'll just make a note. Maybe that's something we need to do next fall, or in January. So I guess maybe January. Our January meeting is just ask you guys who is doing it in house.
Can you guys go to the chief and sheriff?
We don't go to the conferences, but we communicate with them.
But we probably should start making appearances.
I remember last year, Terry Kubal, he had come to me and probably asked for a copy of our website. He didn't ask for it. And I do in-house training, but more police training.
And my understanding is it's mandatory
to me.
They have to have a legislative update for their hours.
And honestly, I didn't even care if people had to do it in-house. Right. Ed wants to say, I want to do an in-house with South Lake, and that absolutely is prerogative, you can do it. I just want to make sure that if they're not doing it, that know and they can kind of get it.
We do a post-reporting, and we did it this year, and so they can get it through the portal. It's informative, whereas if they come live, it's much more interactive, you know, we share some anecdotes.
I'm much better than you, you put the report button down.
Yeah. We get, you know, Tyson will dance on the table and, you know.
You should have heard how much I would have said if you weren't recording with me.
So, you know, we do provide the other options for them.
And there's no fee.
And it's free, yeah, it's free.
But overall, I think it's a success, we have some areas where it's challenging, you know, the process is. You know, I really do shame kind of, I'm guessing that 95% of your officers, you know, they're going to do it. They all show up.
I could address this in the next police chief's meeting in Davis, we don't have one in July, they're skipping it, it'll be in August. I don't know why that's happened, I know everybody is doing their own in-house, all the Agent Bountiful does it, Richard Larson in our office does it for anybody that wants, but I don't know why they're not coming.
And that's okay if they want to do that.
Yeah.
But if that's how the county is operating, then you probably should go to the door.
Yeah.
Clearfield always comes.
Okay.
Meaning their admin comes, and then I imagine they go back and do it, you know, for their people.
I know that a lot of the city attorneys want to do their own updates because they want their officers to hear what they want them to hear too. But I can tell you this, and again, I will get you an answer, because I'll ask all the chiefs in August why is it, you know, they're not attending these. But it's not a, there's never been a conscious discussion about it. So I know, I don't think they're intentionally not coming. I think it's just not on the radar screen because they're doing it in-house, probably is the answer I'm going to get.
Yeah.
But I'll encourage them to come, because I would rather not lose momentum. But you're right. If it's only going to be three people showing up, that's not worth your time.
Right.
But I'll try to get it figured out for you.
And we changed from doing it at the Davis County Sheriff's Office, because it's, of course, secure to have to go back in, to doing it in the Layton City Chambers.
All right.
People can just come and go.
That's a good location.
Maybe that's a better, but it hasn't. Oh, and again, we just want to meet the need where it's needed.
Yeah.
And try to understand people getting an empty room, why we're getting an empty room.
Right, I'd like to know too. Yeah, because I don't know for you either, but I'll find out. This surprises me. It's that low attended. The other thing we could do if you want, and then I know you want to move on, but if you want to come to one of the monthly police chiefs meetings sometime in the fall, you know, I can get you on the agenda. They'll let us invite people to come and address it with them directly too, and let them out. There may be a lack of understanding among the police chiefs too of exactly what you do that their city attorneys aren't, maybe too. But if you want to come to one of the, we call it DCLEAA, we'll have you invite and have you come and speak directly with them, because I really am surprised that is that poorly attended. So we'll figure it out.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other issues that need to come before the board?
Oh, I just want to tell you about, I'm hoping that the boss has got this welcome packet, new prosecutor welcome packet that we put together. If you didn't, I've got stuff over here for you to take back. Is what we've done is I put together a letter. This is for brand new attorneys or attorneys that maybe hire out of state that are coming to Utah. So it's an introduction to UPC. I talked a little bit about our conferences. I included in here directions into how you do your CLE, where you can do your CLE reports, and then I've included information about the John R. Justice Program as well as the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. And so it's designed, and then we came up with notepads. There's some on the table if you want a UPC legal pad, little post-it notes, and pens. And so, hopefully your secretary's all got one. I tried to send one to all the bosses. So whenever you get a new hire, just let me know, and I will send out one of these packets.
Okay. So the state conference, the Medicare conference, it is 12 hours, and the car has that now.
Yeah.
So we don't need to do anything.
I want to make you know that CLE is more embarked on online. So I'm submitting things a little bit differently. And then we're paying, everything gets populated as soon as we pay for it. So some of those, some of the things for spring and a couple of other conferences, and I'll get it from on my report. So if you go online and go on there, let me know, and I'll come up to bar again. Because I did notice some discrepancies there. But yeah, spring has been turned in, so it was a regional late spring update. So everything should be in for the June report. And they're aware of that. They're working out their own pages. But we do get that system now, and every year, now that it's every year, we'll be done with it.
But we have updated that number.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, kudos to the DC for having one-offs, ethics one-offs, really. That's really helpful.
And the training committee, I mean, that's, you guys discussed that, and we realize that we discussed right now. Okay, then also, over here on the table, I've got some more. This is what we're going to give to our presenters. I figured I would give you all one, these mugs. I love them. Marilyn uses it. If you want a UPC mug, it's great for soup, hot chocolate, whatever.
Ice cream.
Please take one, ice cream. So that's what we're going to give to our presenters this year, but I just brought one for all of you to take home with you. And so, you just have to decide where you want to have it. Well, yeah, so September is there's two options. We can either do it in conjunction with fall conference, meaning that we would do this Wednesday morning on September 21st, but that would be at Ruby's Inn. Now, for council members, we would pay for all your costs. We would pay for your mileage back and forth one night at Ruby's Inn. If you wanted to stay for fall conference, then it would be up to you. Or if you prefer, we can do what we have been doing in the past and holding the meeting a week earlier so that we can do it in conjunction with SWAP and UCBAA. So that's why I have got two options there. And I would, when I'm on here, when I've got September 11, 12, and 13, as you can see, Marlise and I will be in Vernal for Central Assault Course that same week that the fall conference will fall, and that's why I'm suggesting the dates earlier in September if we don't go with September 21st.
I'm about 50-50 with all being the
20th.
Do I have the wrong date? Oh, excuse me. Yes, sorry. My apologies. It would be September 20th. Thank you, Steve.
What?
Yeah, so Wednesday, September 20th. Okay, so what do y'all want to do? Or in September, the week before, like 11, 12, 13, that first part of the week. Yeah. I'm just thinking, because we've been to SWAP at the same time. Ryan? Does that work for you?
I'll try.
I've reserved probably that west training room that we were in April. Okay, so the 13th. And Jeff, we can work out a swap. We've gone early the first couple of times. The swap wants to go first that morning. So, yeah. And that's all I have to say.
All right, anything else for anyone?
Thanks, everyone. I wasn't sure how long we would go, so, all right, look forward. Hey, thanks everybody that's online. I'm sorry, we should have acknowledged Spence, Karen, and Randall. Thank you. I'm just going to stop the recording. Yeah, so we'll leave it up for the rest of the day. Oh, and, we're actually using their system, so it's not, you knew that. Okay. There's muffins and stuff over here. The candy is not old, it's relatively new, so.
I think it's nuclear protected anyway, right?
I think so.